Lord, we thank you for this time we have to come together as a body of believers, God, a group of people who seek to serve you, to worship you, to make you number one in our lives. Lord, we come before you now and ask that you will open up your word to our eyes and our hearts, God. Reveal your truths to us. Change us. Speak to us, Lord. Help us get through the valleys of life, Lord, the difficult things. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I've entitled the message tonight, Lessons from the Valley of Life, as we continue in Psalm 23. Have you ever been through a spiritual valley in your life? Been through a spiritual time of darkness, a time where unexpected circumstances came crashing down on you? Or perhaps a time when it seemed like God abandoned you? It might be a tremendous hardship that you're dealing with, family problems, physical problems, maybe even intense temptation or trial of falling into sin. You might have wondered before, when you're going through one of those times, if that difficulty or that valley is ever going to end. You know, it seems like it goes on, and it seems like it never ends. And it seems like once you get out of one valley, there's just another valley right there. And we go through these valleys of life. We must realize, and hopefully we'll realize it tonight, that God has his purposes in allowing us to go through the valleys of life. God has intentions in those valleys. I read a story about a traveler who was in a logging area, and he was watching with curiosity as one of the loggers was occasionally jabbing his hook into one particular log, separating it from the others, down a large mountain stream. And when asked why, this logger replied this: "These logs may all look alike to you, but I can recognize that a few of them are quite different. The ones I let pass are from trees that grew in a valley where they were always protected from the storms. Their grain is rather coarse. The ones that I have hooked, however, and kept apart come from high on the mountains. From the time they were small, they were beaten by strong winds. This toughens the trees and gives them a fine grain. We save them for choice work. They are too good to be used for ordinary lumber." You know, so often in our lives, we hate going through the difficult times, the hard valleys of life. But we have to remember that God wants to do within our lives a choice work. He wants to use you through those difficult times for something greater, something set apart than the rest of the world, something that only those difficult times can bring. Let's read once again Psalm 23. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Stop there. Now, once again, you remember David, the author of Psalms, as we've talked about before, was no stranger to hardship. No stranger to calamity in his life. For many years, he was like a wild animal on the run from the psychotic King Saul, even though the prophet Samuel had told him that he would be the next king. And it's in this place we find David. He, from the school of hard knocks, so to say, penned these words of the Psalms. He wrote these words, this encouragement that have brought comfort to countless people throughout the world. And David at the time was reflecting on the fact that people, like we said last week, are so much like sheep. In fact, he himself was like a sheep, causing him to pen these inspired words. And in our last message, I pointed out some unique traits of sheep. You know, we looked at a few things. One, they're completely defenseless, if you remember. They require more care, more attention than any other kind of livestock. You know, they definitely have that mob mentality, doing what others do. And we talked about that crazy story where they all jumped off the cliff, killing each other. And then we also heard a few words about the good shepherd, how he's always looking out for the benefit of the sheep, that it's his pleasure to lead us beside the green pastures, lead us beside the calm waters to drink. And yet, in spite of his tender care, in spite of his good intentions for the sheep, we have another trait that's similar to the sheep. They tend to go astray. Remember, we looked at the verse, we all like sheep have gone astray. And this is where we pick it up here in Psalm 23. Look at verse 3 with me. It says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. And it would be logical for us to assume that under the care of the good shepherd, we would never want to go astray. We would never need restoration. If we're truly under the care of the good shepherd, why do we need restoring? We should be constantly following him. But sadly, that's not the case. Did I mention last week that sheep are stupid? I think I did. Sheep are stupid, giving in to the foolish, illogical patterns of sin. In fact, David himself knew all about the need for restoration. Remember, this guy blew it big, considering the chain of events that unfolded in his life as a result of sin. When you think of David, what other two names come to your head? You always hear David and who? David and Goliath. Then there's one other, David and Bathsheba. It's interesting that one represents his greatest victory, the other his greatest defeat. And as we consider how a sheep gets itself into trouble, it will help us better understand our own vulnerabilities and our own weaknesses. In Psalm 42:11, David cries out and he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Now this phrase, cast down, taken from the King James Bible, was an old English phrase that shepherds would use for a sheep that had turned itself over on its back and it couldn't get up by itself. It was literally stuck on its back and it could not get up. And in this position, it would be completely vulnerable to a predator, to a wolf, a coyote, a vulture, or a buzzard. And it's interesting that it's often the best-fed sheep that were most vulnerable to this problem. Those that are, in politically correct terminology, horizontally challenged, or in plain English, fat. The fat sheeps were the most vulnerable to this situation. And again, in Philip Keller's little book on Psalm 23, he put it this way. A heavy fat sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. And suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns up on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. The sheep, feeling a sense of panic, starts to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes matters worse. Now, it can't get back on its feet. Without the shepherd's immediate help, the sheep is doomed. So picture our friendly fat little sheep, meandering in the grains, meandering in the field, and he finds a nice little rut to find himself and lay down in. And as he lays down in the rut, he decides he wants to stretch out. And as he stretches out, his little overeating tendencies, because he's not an Atkins sheep, take an effect, and he, boom, plops up on his back and starts to freak out. And this is what this verse is talking about by being cast down. We're picturing an overweight sheep, scared and alone, with its feet in the air, making frantic and freaking out. And this process of restoring a cast down sheep is equally as interesting. Philip Keller continued that first the shepherd must find it. And that in and of itself is a daunting task. He says, often he will look for the presence of buzzards circling overhead. He drops whatever he is doing and searches until he finds his sheep. When finding it, the shepherd tenderly rolls the sheep over on its side. Then, straddling the sheep with his legs, he holds her up tight, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulation to her legs, all the while talking to it gently and comforting it. You know, we also, like sheep, need restoration. Think about in your life the times when you've been proverbially cast down. It's often when we least expect it. Maybe it's after a great blessing or a spiritual victory in your life. When you're feeling spiritually fat and sassy, kind of like that sheep, You know, you think you got it all together. You think life's good. You've been in the green pastures to the still waters. And what happens? We lower our guards. We take it easy. We kick back. We relax. And this is well illustrated in the life of the very author of the Psalms, King David. His notorious fall began not when he, as a brave king, was out leading his troops into battle, but as 2 Samuel 11:1 says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Reba, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And that verse pretty much says it all. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to. He wasn't growing. He wasn't doing what God had called him to do. Instead, he was getting lazy. He was getting, you know, a little big in his britches. Yeah, I'm David. Yeah, I'm the conqueror. I'm the king of Israel. I don't need to go out to war. I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to kick back, take it easy. And then sin got a hold of his life. But it brings the question up, when we sin, what is God's attitude towards us? Is he out to get us? You know, we've always heard that famous phrase, if you love someone, set them free. Well, when we sin, does God set us free and then if we don't return to him, hunts us down and kills us? Is that God's response to us when we sin? No. He, like that shepherd with the lost sheep, will search for you. He will find you. Or as the father in the prodigal son story, God misses you and he yearns for you to return. You know, that's all fine and good. We love it when God is our good shepherd, when he leads us to green pastures. We rejoice when we're cast down and he comes and restores us. We love the places that he leads us to, the places that he guides us to, except one. See, we love the green pastures. We love the still watered. We love having our souls restored. But then comes verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. Now this passage gives to us a twofold message. One, it speaks to every child of God. Every single person who every single day gets one step closer to death. And we're going to look at that aspect next time. But it also speaks to us as we go through the valleys of life. As we go through the valleys of life. Let me first approach it as it applies to the hardships of life. You know, we all find ourselves in these valleys, like I said before. At one time or another, it might be a tremendous hardship you're dealing with. As I already said, family problems, physical problems, times of intense tribulation, temptation, or trial. And whatever it is that you're going through, remember this. You are not alone. You're not just walking through that valley by yourself. As a Christian, we have a hope. And what is the great hope? That promise for the believer going through the valley of life. Look at verse 4. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. You know, sometimes in life, we can't necessarily feel or sense God's presence. Have you ever gone through a difficult time and you just couldn't feel that God was there? You felt like you were alone. You felt like he wasn't anywhere. You know, that doesn't mean, just because you feel that way, that he's not there. Let's say tomorrow morning, you went to class or you went to work and you came out for lunch in the afternoon and it was rainy and it was overcast like it was today. And the rain was coming down, and as you sat there and looked at the sun, or looked at the lack thereof of the sun, you just said to yourself, you know, I don't think the sun exists anymore because I can't feel its warmth. I can't see it shining in my eyes, so therefore, I think it's gone. I'm saying the sun no longer exists. Well, if you don't think the sun exists in cloudy times, then I encourage you to go to the beach on an overcast day, don't put any sunscreen on, and lay on the cloudy beach for 6 hours and see what happens. Chances are, you're going to get more burnt than you would on a very sunny day. You know, same way in life. God is there. Not because I feel him, not because I can directly see him, but because he promised to be. Because just like the sun, I can count on it every single day to rise and be there, no matter what the weather conditions are like. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." You know, I'm sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found truth through this great promise. Hebrews 13:6 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" What words of comfort. "I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord is with you." You know, in those times of trouble, we must learn to call upon Jesus. In those moments of distress, cast our problems on him. When Mary and Martha saw that their beloved brother Lazarus was sick, they sent word to the Lord and said, "He that you love is sick." Scripture tells us that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. When the people griped and complained to Moses, Exodus 15:25 says, "He cried unto the Lord." When Hezekiah received a threatening letter from a king saying that he was going to kill him and take his kingdom, the Bible says that he spread it before the Lord. When John the Baptist was beheaded, his disciples went and told Jesus. See, you do not serve and follow a God who's disinterested in your life, who doesn't care, who sits aloof in heaven, unaware of your problems. He's compassionate. He's caring. He's concerned. And he wants to help. Just as the famous verse says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." You know, most of us would like to avoid the valleys in life, wouldn't we? Yeah, we love the mountaintops. As a matter of fact, if God could just kind of airlift us from mountaintop to mountaintop in our life, from victory to victory, blessing to blessing, we'd love it. We'd say, "Awesome, God, you do your work. I'm just going to sit here like that fat, lazy sheep, kick back and relax, and you do all the work." But no, there's valleys. To get to the next mountaintop, to get to the next victory, we have to pass sometimes through the deepest and darkest valleys. You know, there's always lessons we can learn from those valleys. Lessons that can only be learned there. Lessons that can't be learned from the mountaintop. Lessons that can't be learned from the blessings. But lessons that can only be learned from the trials. For one, in those valleys, in those difficulties, God will oftentimes reveal himself to us in a unique and special way. Paul describes the fact that he had a heavenly experience in 2 Corinthians 12:2. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" You know, a lot of times when we give our prayers to God, we expect God to answer in a favorable way, how we expect him to answer. But there it says that he pleaded with the Lord three times. And God didn't say, "Hey, Paul, don't worry, it's going to get better. Things are going to pick up. Just believe." No, he says, "Look, Paul, I know you're having a difficult time, but my grace is sufficient for you. Through your weakness, I can be made strong." The verse continues, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, when you're weak, you have an opportunity to be the best witness for Christ. Because anybody can say, "Hey, you know about Jesus Christ, how much he loves you and cares for you?" When everything's going great. When they have all their plans falling in order, when they're on the mountaintop. But it takes someone who truly loves God when they're in the valley to express God's love, to express God's glory. And that's where the world truly sees what Christ has done for us. So, in the valleys of life, the power and the presence of Jesus Christ are with us in a very special way. Second, in the valleys of life, we often learn lessons of compassion. Compassion that can be learned nowhere else. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." You know, the situations that Job went through, man, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But if he wouldn't have gone through those situations, think about how many comforting verses we would lose for those of us that are in times of trouble. Think of how often we rely upon the book of Job when we're going through trials, when we're going through tribulation, and we get the beautiful verses that, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away." We'd lose all those verses if Job wouldn't have gone through those sufferings. You know, it might be that a suffering you're going through in your life, God is going to use to comfort someone you might not even know through something they're going through. God can use the situations, no matter how difficult, in our lives to both strengthen and edify the church. But remember this. Remember this. The valleys don't last forever. They don't last forever. Just because you're in that difficult situation and you feel like it's going on and on, it might have been a few years that you've dealt with this thing. Paul had the thorn in his flesh for his entire life. He was constantly experiencing trouble after trouble, persecution after persecution, shipwreck, flogging, beating, stoning. But 1 Peter 1:6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." See, the tribulations last for just a little time, for just a little bit, a sliver of our life, so that we can glorify God, so that our faith will grow, so that our faith will be strong. It's there that our faith is not weakened, but that our faith might be strengthened. Notice, David didn't say, "Yea, though I crawl through the valley of the shadow of death," or, "Yea, though I curl up and die and coddle myself and suck my thumb in the valley of the shadow of death." No, he said, "Yea, though I walk." Note that. Note that. No, whatever trial you're in, keep moving. Don't stop. Don't turn over on your back like that fat sheep and put your hands in the air and cry and complain and yell at God. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep pushing. Let God restore you and then keep moving. Keep going. You know, I heard of a sign at the end of a runway on an airfield, and it said, "Keep moving. If you stop, you will die." Remember, he's with you in your valleys. He's with you in your difficulties, and you need to keep moving. As I said before, he is preparing you for a choice work, showing his strength in your weaknesses, making you more compassionate, more like Jesus. And finally, remember, when you come through your valleys, you come through stronger and deeper, stronger and deeper, able to help those around you. And one final thought. Only the true believer of God, Only the true follower of Jesus Christ can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and thou art with me." Not putting their hope in some trite Hallmark slogan. You know, I hear all these slogans. For every cloud, there's a silver lining. And when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Because everyone likes lemonade. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And all's well that ends well. And I hear these people that say, "I believe that for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows." How sweet. And I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. Great, hold on to that thought. And I believe that every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or see a leaf, or touch the sky, I believe, and they go on. The beliefs that they have. Listen, you know what I believe? I believe that the Lord is my shepherd. And that's all I need. I don't need some trite Hallmark card telling me to pull through. I've got God. I've got Jesus Christ. And He is pulling me through. He is restoring my soul. He is comforting me in the valley of the shadow of death. And for that reason, I will fear no evil. Do you? Is that what you believe in? Is that what you cast your care and your concern on? I promise you, if you do, you'll never go through a valley the same way again. Anyone in here who loves Jesus Christ, loves God, and has gone through a valley can vouch for me. If you love Jesus Christ, if He is your shepherd, then no valley, no matter what the size, can stand in your way. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You for Your promises, Your truth, that, Lord, You're our shepherd, God. You love us. You care for us. Lord, You restore us. And that no matter what valleys, no matter what difficulties we go through in life, God, You're there to restore our soul. You're there to lift us up. You're there to help us. God, I pray for anyone tonight who's going through one of those difficulties, going through those pains, going through the valley of life, God, that You will be with them, that You will speak to them, God, that You will strengthen them. Tonight, if you're going through a valley and you're going through a difficult time, you've just lost hope to a certain extent, you feel beaten, you feel downtrodden, I want to pray for you in this time. If you want prayer tonight, just for some stuff you're going through in life, I want you to just raise up your hand and I want to take an opportunity to really pray for you. Lots of hands, lots of pain. Lord God, I pray for those that right now are experiencing great grief, Lord. Great trials, great valleys. Lord, I pray that You will be to them what You were to Elijah, that You will come and speak to them in a still small voice. Lord, I pray that You will mount them up with wings like eagles, that they will run and not grow weary, that they will walk and not faint, that You will lead them as a good shepherd through this valley, Lord, and help them get to the other side.